Hey, I'm back. What are we complaining about? Cancer is very serious. Dead whips, whatever. Kevin looks a little different today with his mustache. Hot takes for days. I didn't feel it. It's going to be a lot to handle. That dumpster back there is not on fire, I swear. It's not.
All right, folks, welcome in. It's the final episode of the 2016 calendar year for the fourth official. Hey!
Yay.
Welcome in, everybody.
We survived! Wait, well, there's still 2 days left.
Shush. Don't jinx it now. Hey, that's the voice of Gavin Eubank. My name's Austin David. Brad Newton's here.
Hey,
it's Brent!
JK.
Brent, how are you doing? We've missed you.
Dead, whipped, whatever.
It actually is one of those two.
Dead, whipped, what's happening? Whatever. We miss you, Brent.
What are we complaining about?
Orlando City today, as is like every day.
It's going to be a lot to handle.
It really is going to be a lot to handle, Brent. Let's begin with the big news.
Cancer is very serious.
Well, that's not the big news. It is news. Like, cancer is very serious.
Yeah, we're
not
going to deny that.
No, cancer is very serious.
Very serious illness.
Yeah, but we're talking about Orlando City. And Phil Rollins...
Can he be the savior?
He was. Too soon. My God. We're going into a very serious topic here, Brent. Come on.
Sure am.
Brad, are you going to say anything?
I'm here. I'm not dead whipped or whatever.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. So 2 days ago, this is Thursday we're recording this. So 2 days ago on Tuesday, Phil Rollins was named the quote unquote life president of Orlando City. And
what's Kyle then?
Dead whipped or whatever.
For Orlando City.
Kyle for Orlando City, he isn't.
It's going to be Kyle for life at Orlando City.
Kyle for life. So Alex Leitao, the CEO, has now assumed increased responsibility for the club. And Phil basically is just taking a back seat now. He's still on the board of directors, and he's still representing the club on all the league boards, so MLS, NWSL, and USL. And he's still kind of like the figurehead, but he's not doing any day-to-day operations.
I think the best way that this has been described is he's basically become the Pat Williams of Orlando City now, helped found the club, was a president GM, and now he's taken on essentially an ambassador role. He's there, people know, people will always associate him with the club, but he doesn't actually do anything.
Because it's kind of like Hotel California, you can check in, but you can't check out.
With Pat Williams, though, like, he still goes, he's like at all the press conferences and everything, of course, and he still speaks during team events and everything. So you'll still see Phil around, and like, he'll be there probably at the jersey reveal and like all the announcements and everything. He just won't be doing anything day to day.
I think Macho Man was onto something there. Orlando City might actually be purgatory.
You can check in, but you can't check out?
Yep.
You can check out very easily. I mean, a lot of people have checked out over the last 3 years. Adrian Venter, Adrian Heath.
Yeah, they're still around.
I mean,
not
I don't
in
know
the capacity
if you get,
that we could fathom, but they're still around.
Well, okay, so let's dig deeper into the Phil thing. So everyone obviously speculated Phil was ousted by the Brazilian ownership group with Flavio and Alex. It's becoming the Brazilian club, and you know, all the 10 Brazilian people that are involved with the club are ousting the old guard and bringing in the new people. And it was going all over Twitter and Facebook, and people were pissed off, and they're like, how dare you? He's our guy. He brought the club here. And then today, K. Rollins is... I don't know what you...
They announced that they're separating.
Yeah. Did not see that coming, like, at all. But at the same time, like, I'm sure it put a strain on their relationship working together in the same office. They weren't necessarily working in the same capacity, but, like, you know, it's tough seeing, like, you know, seeing your wife or your husband every single day at work and then going home and seeing them more. And, you know, sometimes it's just nice to take a little breather. So they haven't, like, announced a divorcing or anything. They're just separated. So
it's usually in the process of getting divorced.
Huh? Right. Yeah. But, you know, there's that little glimmer of hope that, you know, they could reconcile or something, because, like, publicly you see Phil and Kay all the time. Like, they are, like, the one of the better, or best, I would say, sports ambassadors for a City of Orlando team. Like, everyone knows who they are. But
a lot of people also have put on different face in public.
Oh, yeah.
They do in private. I mean,
you have no idea what's going on.
It's not going to be, it's not on me to speculate what happened behind the scenes. It's not my place to be involved in this conversation, I guess, really. It's just, it's up to them. All we can do is just let them continue to work things out on their own.
Right.
I mean, as in regards to how this affects him stepping down, you know, there's the, he said personal decisions. Obviously, this is not what most people expected.
Right.
When you think of all the rumors that have been circulating about this day would come where he does step down.
They didn't
expect... The fact that they say, oh, it's personal reasons, you know, you think, all right, well, I know this, and I know this is probably not true, but... Mm-hmm. You got it. You don't. I mean, the thing is, a lot of people don't know everything that's going on. We know to some extent the dysfunctionality of the front office that even with this news casts some doubt. I'm not gonna. I mean, this is maybe part of the reason why he stepped down, I won't say it's everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely
a
factor.
It doesn't change what is going on at that club on a day-to-day basis, that we could say.
Which, again, we don't know the full extent of what's going on, so...
And we may never know. We'll hear whatever is, you know, thrown out towards us, but it's not... We're not in those conversations, in those daily meetings. We're not in the owner's phone calls, so, whatever, I mean, he is.
Speaking from personal experience, if you become so singularly focused on something, like Phil this last year has had to step into a GM role that he didn't really anticipate really getting into, and it might have taken up a lot more of his time than he may have originally planned on it. I mean, Nicky Bialic eventually did end up becoming the full-time GM of the club, and so reason is there that maybe Nicky was probably taking a lot more of the main focus of it. However, if you're in a relationship with someone and suddenly, you know, priorities, time in the office, your work-life balance sort of shifts in a direction that maybe it just wasn't, you know, giving enough opportunity for, you know, even a marriage that's, you know, for all intents and purposes lasted for, you know, they've been married almost 20 years now or something?
It's got to be somewhere at least around that.
Yeah.
Even stuff like that, I mean, relationships, they're a lot of work, and it's never something that just, like, happens organically, and they do require some effort and time out for one another. And now suddenly, if you just don't have that anymore, and, you know, suddenly Sean St. Ledger shows up one day in a Speedo.
I mean, guess. What if...
No.
I mean, need you to cut all of the mics off for a second so I can tell you this, Austin. What
including,
if?
Including
cut
Gavin's.
All of the mics off for just a second.
Okay. Ready?
Yes.
Go. No.
Yep.
I'm just saying, what if? I'm just saying, what if false flag? That's all I'm saying.
No. Just stop. Stop your train of thought.
I'm just saying, put on the tinfoil hats and just consider. False alarm.
No. When, thank you, Brett.
No way.
No way. No
way. It's a cover-up operation.
Oh, my God. Just stop.
A last-ditch effort.
When would you willingly put on a tinfoil hat?
All the time.
That explains so much, honestly. All right. So while we're on the topic of Phil Rollins, you know, he has stepped down and everything, but he's getting an award from the NSCAA. I don't know if you guys have heard about that.
No. I've heard about the NCAA.
Right. So the NSCAA is the what's it called? The National Soccer National Soccer Coaches Association of America. And Phil Rollins is being awarded the Presidential Recognition Award by the president of the NSCAA at the awards banquet on January 13th out in LA. And that's being awarded to Phil for the team, you know, Orlando City's role in the rebuilding and the healing process after the Pulse tragedy. So he's going to get some time to like speak on stage and everything, accepting the award. And so, yeah, that's going to be happening out in LA at the convention center out there. And
so you're saying he'll be speaking to media?
He won't be
far away from Orlando.
He will not be speaking to media. It's a dinner function. Media, I think, is allowed there. But I think it's like $75 per person to go to this dinner.
Phil to LACFC?
No.
No. Nope.
I mean, I think it will be interesting in that respect to see in what extent does he stick around. Because, I mean,
he is still like...
I just don't buy the fact that he spent so much time, him and his wife, this was their dream, was to start a club in the United States and to get here. And after just 2 years, the stadium's not even open.
Well, I put it to you,
things happen,
to just give it up.
I mean, life... Well,
and remember again, how many times he said, not just months ago, I'm not leaving, I'm going to be here.
But things happen.
Yeah,
life beyond happens, your control. Man.
Yeah, like, if it comes
to a
divorce, point,
that's enough to make you step away from
divorced,
your dream?
They're not divorced yet. And if you care enough about that relationship to sort of sacrifice, like, you know, a life's work to sort of preserve that and try to make things work, I think that's because their sons are still going to stay with the club. Kay's still staying with the club. I think if there's one person who can have a reduced role and whatever, and I don't know the Rollinses any more than anyone else does. If, you know, you try to make things work and you sacrifice things where you can, and you try to make compromises to sort of, you know, see, because everything is just kind of temporary. Like at a certain point, the Rollinses weren't going to be involved in the club. That's just a facet of reality. There's going to come a point where they're not there anymore. Now, if they want to preserve their relationship and, you know, work on themselves and, you know, try to look at things beyond material things and whatever that might come with it, and, you know, then good for them. I can't fault someone for trying to like work on their happiness and try to preserve shit. So if that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
Yeah. God.
Right. So while we're talking about that LA thing, just a quick note. I will be going to the NSCAA convention.
We have shameless plugs in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll be.
You know, it is what it is.
We're gonna have a representative out at the MLS and NWSL draft.
So who's going?
Me.
From the show.
Yeah, me.
So when people ask who you work with, you're gonna tell them.
The fourth official.
I'm representing three different outlets.
Not a single person, I guarantee you, at that place is gonna know he works with the fourth official.
You're the Austin David from the fourth official podcast.
Considering I'm pretty sure we don't have any listeners out in LA. So,
you don't know that. What if an Orlando fan lives out in LA?
And what if he's at the convention?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, geez, you know, I'll have a badge with my name on it. So if they recognize me, then
I'll tell you, one of the most awkward things is if you ever, I don't know if this happens to you because you're not as active on social media as I am. If you ever walk through the tailgate before a game and someone recognizes you, it's just the most awkward thing ever.
I've had that happen to me, twice I hardly ever walk through the tailgate, but like
people be like, "Hey, are you having you back?" I'll be like, "Yeah, what's going on?"
She's like, "Oh, you're that guy."
She'll be like, "Oh yeah, I'm this guy." I'll be like,
"Okay, nice to meet you." And they're like, "Oh, cool. You don't know me?"
Yeah, basically, it's like, yeah.
No, I don't. Sorry.
One time I went to when they gave out those the pride scarves. Mm. Remember when they put those around town? One of my followers was generous enough to get one for me. So I met him out in the parking lot. And I'm standing there at the tailgate. It's like it's at the Ruckus tailgate. So we're standing there. And I have it in my hand. And this lady comes up to me. She's like, "Hey, if you're not using that, can I take that?" I'm like, "No, this guy gave it to me." She was like, "Oh, are you sure? Like, I can't have it for my kid?" I'm like, "No, sorry." I felt like a dick in that moment.
You took
but
away.
But it was like... As much as I wanted to make that kid's day and give him the scarf, it was also like, it's my scarf. I want it. I got it. Get out of here.
Selfish.
I almost said that, but I don't want to.
It's good you didn't.
I want to go full asshole.
Yeah. Just imagine if she was like on Twitter or something. She just blasted you.
I mean, dude, I don't doubt that people blast me on Twitter.
No, they do.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
It is what it is. I enjoy those moments though. When like people just say things to you, like people just recognize you, and it's just like, oh, so that's what it's like to be cool for a second. I do hope that one day I walk out there so and someone just goes off on me.
I have a feeling I know a few people who would want to go off on you.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I've been around Tim before. I don't think he knows what I fully look like, but I've been around him with Kyle once. Like he was talking to Kyle mm-hmm. out there before one of the games about like the whatever dumb shit they did. And he just stand there. He didn't say anything to me. I don't know if he knew who I was.
I'm not allowed to talk about. I'm not allowed to anymore.
Apparently. So there's that.
So
but that was just funny to like to stand there and just I was kind of waiting for him to say something and he didn't.
Didn't.
No.
Yeah.
I was like, do I say something to him? Be like,
yeah. Internet tough guys.
Yeah. It is what it was.
All right. So, shall we move on? That Will Johnson signing is official now. Kind of broke it down last week, so it happened now. We're just wording on Sertich now. And then...
I like the Johnson signing. I think he's a good player. He's got that grittiness and that toughness that the team does not have. He'll bring that to the squad. I think he... It's starting to come together now and show that Jason Christ wants to move to this 4-4-2. It'll be interesting to see how that midfield lines up because there's still a lot of questions about how he's going to put together a starting 11, really. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with Kevin Molino.
Mm.
You don't know.
Don't know about most of this team.
Matias Perez Garcia. You don't know what's going to happen in the defensive midfield. There's still a lot of question marks right now, but Johnson is a nice piece.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who are like predicting how the diamond will shape out.
And the funny thing is, last week I wrote a story about this after it was first reported.
Yeah,
and every single person to comment had a different view about how they think the midfield and the top the forwards would line up. And that's just the state we're in right now. Is Jason Christ has given nothing away.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what the hell.
You guys
going on.
Know who was at the Magic game?
And preseason starts in less than a month.
Who?
Patrice Evra.
Was he actually?
He was at the Magic game last night. Evra to Orlando City.
He does have time off. Eh.
Patrice Evra.
Yeah. The French left back. They already have a left back in Donny Toya, though, so I don't know about
that. Well, you know.
Why is he in Orlando?
Because they have time off.
Who
apparently,
doesn't want
apparently there's he's connected to West Ham though.
Who doesn't want to come to Metropolitan Orlando on their time off from Juventus?
Could have come with does he even have a family?
Yeah, he does.
They probably came for Disney.
Yep.
Yeah, but most people do.
But he was at the Magic game.
Hmm.
So let the
don't most
fly.
People do though?
Nope. No one goes to the Magic games.
I may have wrote about it.
Oh. Are you sure he didn't want to come see the Hornets?
Yeah, that's true.
No.
See MJ, maybe? Yeah. Except maybe he got confused and thought he played for the Hornets.
And Michael Jordan, he plays for the Hornets? No.
No way.
All right.
Now we see why Austin doesn't work as soundboard.
I mean, I don't pretend like I'm good at it.
I didn't say I was good at it. I just kept pushing the buttons.
Who, you?
1,000,000%!
Any other Orlando City news that we didn't talk about? Like, since this is our last show of 2016, should we talk about, like, the moments of 2016 that made it for Orlando City?
Yeah, what's your favorite moment of 2016 for Orlando City, Austin?
Kevin Molino.
What about Kevin Molino?
Just everything.
That was
scoring like 11 goals.
Every single thing he did was just your favorite moment.
Scoring that penalty against Portland.
That penalty?
Yes, that was my favorite moment because that was like him being back after tearing his ACL. That was his first goal in MLS. Special moment for him. You know, just one of the guys who's been there since the beginning is scoring his, you know, first professional MLS goal in the first division. That's the special moment. And yeah, that was probably one of my special.
I would have to say favorites. For me, it kind of narrows down to two moments. Is one would be the game at Yankee Stadium, where they came back to draw 2-2.
Well, you were there.
Yeah,
that makes that it special
was, it
too.
Was just it was that much of, all right, this team's gonna lose. What a boring day. Oh my God. And then just like listening, because my favorite part is when you're at a road game and then in a moment like that where Yankee Stadium's cheering, they're all chanting, you know, the game's about to come over, they're about to win against Orlando, and then they just, the crowd is just dead silent.
Yeah. Kevin Molino.
It's one of my favorite things.
So it goes back to Kevin Molino.
But I think my favorite moment would have to be, which ups it, was the opening day game against RSL, and just the pure disbelief in the press box when Adrian Winter scored that tying goal. What was it, like 60 seconds after Kyle Larin's goal to make it a 2-1 game?
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine what it was like sitting out in the crowd for that in that moment. Is when you're like, I'm sitting there and I'm writing the game story for that more than, you know, 3/4 of the way through, and then that happens.
I
think one of my favorite moments that I'll always remember that is looking over to my left and I see Ty standing there just with his hands on his head in shock because he could not believe what happened. It was just a funny moment to see that happen.
I was there.
I mean, probably.
I don't remember seeing that at all.
You probably showed up late that day. That's why you weren't in the mainland photo.
No, you were saying this was at the end of the game.
Yes, you missed it. You were late.
Wasn't that okay?
To those that don't know, me and Michael, every day when we show up to the stadium, we play a game of when Austin is going to arrive because he's always late. Arriving to the game.
No, I'm never.
We usually put the over under at like an hour before the game.
Yeah, sometimes that's not late.
Sometimes it's like 30 minutes before kickoff.
See, again, that's not late.
No, if you're not there for lunch, man, you're late.
I still eat. Whatever.
Yeah, you late.
Whatever.
If you're 2 hours early, you're 10 minutes late.
All right, Brad, what's your favorite moment from Orlando City?
My favorite moment from this year was probably...
Could be Pride or OCB related, too.
Well, yeah, I was going to say opening day at the Pride. Just sort of seeing... you know, how everything kind of shook out as far as like getting a new team together and, you know, getting women's soccer here in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's, I mean, especially to see, you know, the NWSL grow as much as it has and to sort of, you know, see how everything's shaking out so far with the team. I mean, Tom Sermani get a pretty okay team together in a relatively very short time. You know, even though the end of the season didn't exactly turn out the way you'd like to, I mean, they went pretty much 2 months without winning a game. I mean, the last time they won a game was a 2-1 victory over the Breakers back in July, and the season ended at the end of September. So
yeah. I remember being there for that game. That was the game that was delayed like an hour and a half for like a tornado, right?
There's a lot of...
Were me and you there? Game was that I went to?
That was the game where I was told not to engage Tim anymore.
That was also the game that I got Caleb Kyle to block the mainland in my personal account.
No, I think that was a game against the Flash, because that was earlier in the year.
We went to multiple games?
We did.
Huh. I remember I was tweeting a lot of Katy Perry related and Taylor Swift tweets from the mainland, and Michael deleted most of them.
Yeah, I was in attendance in that game in an unofficial capacity as a fan, and I was just kind of walking around. So the whole backstory of why I can no longer engage, well, I can because I'm not...
No, you were in the press box with me for that one. Which one is this game, though?
The one where I was told not to talk to Tim Allen anymore.
I thought that was on Twitter.
It was on Twitter, but I was there as a fan for that game because I was walking around and I found a picture of Trash.
Oh,
room.
Yeah.
And I went, look.
Was that after the game, though, when we were going, we were walking?
No. That game, I was there as a fan and I was walking around during the weather delay.
The Breakers one?
No, yeah.
Oh, okay. So I think it was Michael were there that game, man.
Yeah. I think that was you two there for that one.
I do remember that.
But anyways, I digress. The first game against the Houston Dash, Pride 1-3-1.
That was cool.
So yeah, the first goal for Orlando Pride at home was actually an own goal that the Dash scored. But then Leanne Sanderson and Alex Morgan scored later on. Leanne Sanderson, of course, went on to join the Western New York Flash in a trade later in the season. So
and then won a championship with them, even while not having played.
Well, yeah, because she was injured for the last half of the season, but. Yeah, it was good to see the growth of the sport. I mean, Alex Morgan's going to be playing over in France for the first few months of the season. So it's going to be an interesting look. I mean, the Pride have picked up Allie Krieger, so I think a lot of the acquisitions that the Pride have made in 2016 are seeing the growth from having no team at all to now actually sort of like building a really good team, and you're seeing the development of several new players for them as well. I think Yasmin Spencer is going to be pretty big coming up here, and I also have a lot of I think Kristen Edmonds is going to be really big too.
She got her first call up for the U.S. Women's National Team.
Yeah, I mean, she's 29, so it's not as if she's a young player. I mean, Spencer and Edmonds, Spencer's 26 and Edmonds is 29, so it's not as if they're young players that are getting like a sort of a fresh start, but it's interesting. I mean, Sam Whitman's probably I think she's the youngest player on the team.
It's very possible. At this point, it might be Danny Weatherholt.
Yeah, one of those two. I mean, if there's any difference in age, it's probably only by a couple months. But Christina Birkenrode as well. Who has a really sort of cool story to sort of look at and hear. So
Steph Catley's actually the youngest.
Is she
22?
Oh, there's. I mean, Weatherholt and Whitman are 22 as well. But yeah, Catley by just a few months.
Yeah. That's still crazy, though. Like, you kind of thought she was older because she's gotten so much time with the Australian women's national team.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes to show you if you're good and you're pressing the service early, you can have a pretty tenured career at a young age.
Yep.
Sorry, Freddie Adu.
He has no team now. All right, let's talk about some MLS World Soccer news. We're going to get into Bob Bradley in a second, but I just found this...
What was the nickname it came out from? Bob Bradbury?
Bob Bradley? Is that what... Somebody called him Bob
Bradley.
Bob Badley.
Yeah.
I think Michael... Or not Michael. Austin said that.
Yeah, yeah. Bob Badley. I said that in an episode.
In conversation.
Whatever.
Sad.
So, here's an interesting note. 15 most valuable soccer clubs in the Americas. So, that's... North America, South America, and Central America. So, top 15, Sporting Kansas City, Toronto, Portland. This is going from 15 down. Club America in Mexico. Sao Paulo, who still owe Orlando City money, number 11. Houston Dynamo, number 10. Orlando City, number 9. NYCFC, 8. Seattle, 7. Galaxy, 6. Monterrey in Mexico, 5. Guadalajara, 4, Grêmio in Brazil, 3, Palmeiras in Brazil, 2, and Corinthians in Brazil, 1. So Orlando City cracks the top 10 in the most valuable teams in the Americas.
Cool.
Thoughts?
Cool.
Any, if any.
How many of those teams No, I'm not even gonna say it.
Now, is that looking at strictly, I mean, what is that? Like the IPO? Is it fan base? Is it like what's the qualification for?
Doesn't say, just the most valuable. Oh, here we go. Hold on. Forbes Mexico has compiled a rankings of the most valuable clubs in North and South America.
Did that come out like a month ago?
This article was written December 29th. I don't know. Forbes USA put one out of MLS clubs, but Forbes Mexico put one out just recently.
Yeah, and they put it out like a month ago.
Who, Forbes Mexico?
Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Why is the article just being written now?
Oh.
No, that was, no, it was put out December 29th.
No.
I'm looking at the Forbes Mexico article right now, man.
So what did you say about Rob Bradley?
That he was going to get to him in a minute.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that Orlando... Orlando City...
Gavin. They didn't. It's come out. I will find you the tweet where Orlando City tweeted about it.
No, there was a Forbes USA one that was released in September. Anyways, Orlando City is valued at $240 million. That's all I'm going to say. Let's talk about Bob Bradley being fired.
Bob Bradley.
He didn't even last like 3 months. Like, if you think of it in like American football terms or even like any other sport terms, like he was basically fired after like 11 games. Like that never happens. Why did they pull the trigger so quickly? They didn't even let him get to the January transfer window.
I don't know. I guess if it's one of those things where...
I'm on the Forbes Mexican website 2 months ago.
Can we move off that now?
Yeah.
If you're really that worried about whether or not, you know, whether or not Bob Bradley's going to be, like, there for the long term, which, I mean, he's not now because he's fired, but why they did that? I mean, they're already one of the teams that are probably going to be relegated, and I guess they're just kind of like swinging, like flailing around trying to do anything to prevent that.
I mean, I just think it's ridiculous because if you're doing this now after 11 games, the transfer window has not opened up. He took over a bad team that played bad, was never given a chance to fix it, and now he's gone.
So it's
because you can't deny that there's some factor into it that because he's an American coach that he was looked at poorly.
Well, there's a caveat to that because the owners are American.
Yeah, which pressure from the outside and the fans all against him from essentially the beginning did not help him. They think the whole outrage when he said road game instead of away fixture, whatever the hell they say, that is not road game. I mean, what's the point? What is his job there? Is he supposed to win with this really bad team?
I mean, that's kind of what you expect.
Telling me two coaches could not win with this team, but it's not the team's fault.
No. And
it's the coach's fault.
Right. That's how the ownership group kind of looks at it, is that any failing of the team itself is not strictly on the team, but I mean, here's the thing. You got rid of probably your best player a year ago. And so
they were doomed from the start. They should have at the very least have fired their original coach before the season. Mm-hmm. And I think if you bring in Bradley at the beginning of the year and the team is still struggling, then it makes sense. But if you're just going to do it, 83 days? 11 games?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no. I think you don't have enough time to really get that team together. I mean, Boney was... was the best player on your team, and you did not really get anything in the transfer window for any of that £25 million that you got for him. So,
it's not his fault he went into a bad situation. I think Bob Bradley's still a good coach. There's some rumors that he might come back to MLS. He's been linked to the Norwegian national team. I would like to see him get that job personally. I think that would be a good opportunity for him.
They're saying like he's the favorite for LAFC now, though.
LAFC too, I wouldn't doubt. I don't think he needs to come back to MLS at this time.
He coached 11 games. He also conceded 29 goals in those 11 games.
He also had a bad roster.
He had a bad roster, but I mean, that's a lot. in 11 games.
I mean, when you're taking over a roster, you have to have the ability to bring in players that you can coach and you can work with. I think, you know, people call him a bad coach. It's just, no, he didn't have players that he could personally work with. And I think that's key to any person taking over any job.
Yep.
I mean, you see, you know, everybody talked about how great of a coach Jason Christ was. I mean, he still didn't make the playoffs. That's not his fault. I mean, he did the best that he could in this situation with the players that he had. But now we're seeing this offseason. He's trying to get the players that he wants, that he can coach, to ultimately do what he wants to do.
I think there's got to be more to it than, like, whether or not he could bring in players or manage a roster or win games over there. Because, like we said, he didn't even make it to the transfer window before he was fired. He was only there a total of 85 days. It's not a long time to do anything.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It is what it is. He'll get another job. He'll move on.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's still a good coach. There's no taking away from that.
And I don't think it really does anything to affect the later, you know, development of U.S. coaches overseas too, because I think that was everyone's sort of knee-jerk reaction was like, oh, well, no U.S. coach is ever going to do anything in any big leagues. And
yeah,
it's
I
like,
think yes and no to that. I mean, if there's a coach who's qualified for the job, he should have every opportunity to have that job.
Yeah, no, that's, I agree.
And essentially, if you're holding out this, you know, kind of xenophobia against all Americans who ever want to go over there, it's just, you're hurting yourself in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right.
We'll see in like 3 months. He'll probably end up getting a new job.
He'll be back in work soon.
Yeah. Say March 2017. More or less. Anyway.
Well, maybe if he takes this Norwegian job, it'll be pretty soon.
Yeah. That's true. Okay. So remember how like a few weeks ago we talked about the NASL being dead? And then the next week after that, we said, oh, but it still has a heartbeat. And now it's like, hey, it's even more of a heartbeat. And it's like, they're really trying to come back now. So the Cosmos aren't dead either. And there was the whole thing about them being dead too. Basically they're, well, Gavin, tell me about what you told me in regards to
the, well, I will say it's interesting since we started recording.
Uh-huh.
55-1, the Minnesota United based blog.
Right.
Has been following the story from the beginning. They've had sources all throughout the NASL and all this whatnot. They actually released a story that the NASL owners are trying to press forward without Commissioner Bill Peterson. Mm. You know, U.S. Soccer says that they've been pushing off on this effort, blah, blah, blah. They're going to do what they need to. I mean, I haven't had a chance to read the story, but that's just what they're saying right now. As for what you were referencing to, I want to say it was either Empire Soccer or Big Apple Soccer. One of those two said that it's a possibility that the Cosmos are bought. Whoever owns them would also buy the New York Red Bulls, have the Cosmos brand sit out, and then in 2018 they would return is the Red Bulls taking over as the Cosmos in Major League Soccer. So I think that's a possibility that in 2018 the Red Bulls could become the Cosmos.
Huh.
As for the realistic chances of that happening, who knows? Red Bull was rumored to be looking to sell the team a couple years ago. Those rumors have died down a lot. They've died down significantly since then.
I mean, the team got good.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. After the whole Mike Pecky situation, there's a large uproar for Red Bull to sell a club. I think eventually they will. I don't see this sticking around forever. But
Pecky, didn't he get a new... Yeah, he got a new job.
Yes, he's now with the Real Monarchs, which is Real Salt Lake's USL affiliate. Which I will say that it will not be very long. I don't think he'll be in USL very long.
No.
I think if RSL comes out, Jeff Caesars gets on the hot seat.
Sure.
Hand over the throne to Mike Pecky. It makes sense.
It sure does. Unless, I mean, you know, moving on to our next topic. Unless Real Salt Lake gets Landon Donovan. So that's a thing now. Landon Donovan apparently not ready to retire. RSL's apparently offered him a 2-year DP deal. And then Julie Stewart Binks, who's now with ESPN, who used to be with Fox, she reported that a team from the Eastern Conference offered him the same deal. So
I can just hear it now. You hear Jeff Radcliffe calling the game, and oh my God, is that Landon Donovan's music?
He's got his own music.
What is Landon Donovan's like walkout music?
Landon Donovan walks out to the awning at the new stadium and just jumps into the wall. The crowd goes crazy. They throw him on the field and he just runs out there.
So, but back to the question, what is Landon Donovan's music?
Whatever you want it to be.
That's an awful answer.
That's a really bad answer.
I was not expecting that question, so I didn't have anything made up on the spot.
Expect the unexpected.
You know, it'd be even better is if they had that rotating lion and Landon's on it, and it turns around,
and then it becomes alive.
There's Landon Donovan riding a live tiger, and it jumps down out of the field.
Why a tiger?
Not a tiger, a lion. It becomes a live lion, and he's just riding it into the stadium.
So, hear me out. Landon Donovan is the Boba Fett of MLS. Kind of looks cool, but ultimately just like ends up flying into a pit and being digested like almost immediately.
I was going to say he's like the Brett Favre.
No.
Because he's like, I'm retired. No, I'm not. I'm retired. No, I'm not.
The LA Galaxy did tell the LA Times this year that Landon Donovan would go back into retirement.
Yeah, and now he's not. So he's like the Brett Favre of MLS.
Yeah, but that's if he... I don't know.
Think about it. Brett Favre.
No. I understand the analogy. Like, yes. He would take these like 1 or 2 year deals with, you know, the Jets or the Vikings and, yeah, you know, go off somewhere after that. And the rumor would always float out there. Oh, he's coming back. But I think in Landon Donovan's case, Boba Fett is probably more apt just because like it was such a big deal that he came back and yet he didn't really do anything.
He scored a goal.
A goal.
And assisted on two.
Yeah.
In like 5 games after not training for like 2 years.
In MLS, though. So.
Yeah. Just think, I mean, what could he do when he does train?
I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I think. If it's not Orlando, for some reason, I feel like it could be Orlando, but probably not.
It's not.
I think, if anything, if the Eastern Conference team's probably Atlanta. Their technical director is one of his longtime teammates on the national team. They've got an open DP spot. I think that marketing face, which is another corner with them. They are doing everything they can to be a powerhouse club, and that would certainly go a long way.
They would sell out tickets. They already are selling out tickets, but they would sell out tickets even more so.
How big is that new stadium going to be? At least 80, right?
I mean, it's an NFL stadium.
Yeah.
On and off.
I wouldn't be surprised if they fill that thing for their first game. Well, no, because they're going to be in Bobby Dodd for a few games. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. If the team can play well and keep that momentum going, and then when they do move into that new stadium in the summer, what happens there? I do hope that Orlando visits them in Bobby Dodd, though. I kind of want to go there.
They probably won't.
It's got a nice downtown view.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
I mean, it fits like 55,000. That's Orlando, still more than enough Orlando you need for that kind of matchup.
Right, I'm just saying Orlando.
I think a lot of fans will travel up for that game, too. You'll see a lot of Orlando City fans. It's only a 7-hour drive.
Yeah, no, it's not bad. I would almost want to go to the new stadium, though, rather than Bobby Dodd.
I would, too.
Like, if Orlando's the home opener for them for the new stadium?
Rebels. Oh, for the new stadium? Yeah. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. They haven't announced that yet.
They haven't announced the schedule yet.
Yeah,
so.
They don't even know when that thing is going to be done.
Well, they said, I think, either June or July. So.
That's what they're hoping for, yeah. But
yeah, but we all know, but we heard that.
With a project that size,
Orlando, looking at Orlando City, the way their stadium project kind of went. So, you know. Ultimately, I always think it's for the best. Like, if you have a few trial games at your stadium to sort of test it out before, I am kind of surprised that an actual Orlando City game is going to be the game to open up the new stadium here.
Every season they've played in MLS, they have started at home.
No. But what I'm saying, though, for the actual venue itself to sort of give it like a dry run of like an actual game that's being happened here.
Oh, it's going to be the first MLS game.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah. For the new stadium?
Yeah.
No, I believe Phil said that when I talked to him in like September, he said they're going to definitely try to get a couple test runs on.
Yeah,
one of those season ticket member only games in the preseason or something.
Yeah, I mean,
or like a close scrimmage.
Yeah.
Not even
well,
that.
Well, no, because they want to be able to to make sure that they can function, that, you know, the ticket turnstiles work, the toilets work, you know, everything.
Yeah, you want to make sure that everything is actually working during a game before.
There's no point in just playing a game at the stadium if nobody's going to be there. You want to be able to get a test run in to make sure that everything can run smoothly.
You're not testing the pitch, you're testing the facilities.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. MLS other news. Piatti. Nacho Piatti. Might be leaving Montreal after, you know, Drogba's leaving. He's gone. But Piatti was kind of like one of the bigger reasons that they made the playoffs and almost made it to the final. But he's getting offers from Boca Juniors down south. So,
I mean, if Montreal can get that money, go ahead and get that money. But it's a big it'd be a big loss for him. I mean, he's arguably their best player. He's one of the top most underrated players in the league, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I think being in Montreal, they don't get on national TV a lot, and nobody really knows who he is.
Well, according to
close followers of the league,
according to SB Nation site Mount Royal Soccer, Piatti might be leaving for San Lorenzo, not Boca Juniors.
Interesting.
So it is another Argentinian club. Trying to ramp up for Copa Libertadores. So, just kind of, you always see these kind of rumors going around about, like, I mean, we just saw Darlington Nagbe tried to get snatched up by Celtic, but.
Which apparently Mayor Paulson said no to.
Yeah, yep. No, they shot that down pretty quick. I mean, you never know. It's worrying. Well, with MLS and the Chinese Super League thing. So you know how Carlos Tevez is now the highest paid player in like
the world.
Yeah,
almost.
Basically, he's making £1 a second.
Yeah, I here's the thing. Don't try to compare China and MLS because it's not.
I don't like the thinking that MLS is gonna have to compete with this league. It won't.
It won't because the way the rules are structured in MLS. It's designed almost counterintuitive to the way China's doing it, where they're just like, yeah, no, we're not going to have a salary cap, and we don't really care about the expansion of smaller teams or making sure that we have an actual competitive league in 5 years.
Right.
Like I said, that league's built on quicksand, and if there's only like three teams at the end of it that can pay teams like millions of dollars or pay players millions of dollars, no one's going to come out to it eventually, and it's going to disappear.
And I think the one thing that Major League Soccer beats in, and I've been saying this about essentially a lot of the leagues in Europe, at some point when Major League Soccer catches up in average salaries for these players, and we're starting to see that with the Atlantas and the Seattles, where that they're actually spending money on good players, the quality of living in the United States outmatches that of almost anywhere in the world. And that in itself, when you're on par with making not just the same money you can make in Germany or Spain, but when the quality of play gets up there too, that's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, if you're a top player and you have the opportunity to come play in a New York, not even a New York, just in Orlando, or you can go live in the favelas and the slums in Brazil. Yay.
Well, no one who plays for a soccer team is living in the favelas. Let's kind of get that clear.
Yeah.
Depending on where you're playing. So.
No.
If you're good, yes.
Even then.
I'm just saying Brazil is still not a country.
Brazil, nice.
Depending
on where you are in Brazil.
If any one of us went to Brazil, we'd be pretty comfortable right now with whatever money we had on us.
Yeah. Although living in the favelas is an experience.
To which I can't speak on. So.
Yeah. No, my dad lived there for a little bit just to see what it was like. But that was years ago. Things have changed. Probably a lot more shootings and violence and muggings. So you really don't want to be there.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's just what Ryan Lochte says. I don't really want to take his word for that.
Well, then again, he also didn't, like, none of that was real either. So
yeah, if you talk to Ryan Lochte, that's Brazil.
Yeah.
But not really.
All right. Last thing we'll talk about. Kaká's got a new girlfriend.
We're talking about them?
What? Should we? Should we not?
I guess.
Rich, popular man has... stunning girlfriend, yes.
Yeah.
Breaking news. You heard it here first, guys.
I don't know. I mean, that might affect his play on the field. Because, you know, he was going through that divorce and with Orlando, you know, things happen. Might be happier now. Hot take. Anyway.
I mean, he's leaving after this year anyway.
Yeah. So. Well.
Don't get too comfortable here.
Yeah. That'd be really interesting if just like as soon as Kaká leaves, like every Brazilian with the clubs just like, okay, he's done, we're done, bye. And just like backs away.
Hmm.
I don't see that happening.
No.
No.
Eh, you never know. All right. Before we head into our predictions, weird news, etc., Estrella and Brian Rocha's update. Estrella, he got a yellow card in his most recent match. Still yet to score a goal. Yeah, and then Brian Rochez hasn't played a game since the 4th of December. And he has 6 goals on the season in 15 appearances.
Not bad. I bet he comes back next year and just lights it up. Nobody is talking about him. He's still under contract with Orlando City.
I know.
Nobody talks about that.
Nope.
Which I think is why he's going to tear it.
He's just going to tear it up.
He's just going to Uncle Drew everybody. He's going to walk out there and be like, dude, this clown again? Hat trick opening that.
Boy, you never know with that. That would be interesting.
You never know with this club what's going to happen. That's the fun thing.
Keeps it interesting.
Yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't. For sure. I mean, it could be we could be a boring team.
Yeah.
Could be a Columbus. Yeah. Could be a New England.
Right, okay. So,
not even going to touch that?
No.
Could be a Chicago.
Nope. Weird news. Guys, this is the last one for this year. So, anyone got anything really juicy or interesting? I will say my favorite news story from 2016 is the Florida man who was too busy yelling at traffic to notice a tornado. That we kind of brushed over in our last episode or 2 episodes ago when we went over the top 33 news stories from Florida. So that was my favorite from the year. Do you guys have anything from this week?
Yeah, I got a story.
Go for it.
Even George R. R. Martin thinks 2016 was, quote, too much to bear.
Oh, my God.
Please let this
wretched... Didn't he write 2016?
Yeah. Please let this wretched year come to an end. George R. R. Martin agrees 2016 was an overwhelming year, saying death, death, and more death. The year just keeps getting worse and worse, that he wrote on his live journal. He wasn't giving a sneak peek of his new book or anything else that he's working on, just sort of saying that, commenting on the passing of Carrie Fisher and Richard Adams, the author of Watership Down. Martin described Fisher as a, quote, bright, beautiful, talented actress and a strong, witty, outspoken woman, and urged people to read Adams' book, which he called, quote, one of the 3 great fantasy novels of the 20th century. Again, this year, you know, we've lost George Michael, David Bowie, Prince, Gene Wilder, Muhammad Ali, Leonard Cohen, and that's really just sort of the tip of the iceberg there. So,
the really sad iceberg.
Yeah. 2016 is going to be one of those years that we kind of look back on and we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's,
we're already looking back on it. It's like, please just let this year end before someone else dies.
Yeah. So, just kind of funny to think that even the guy who wrote the Red Wedding is kind of like, damn, 2016.
There was a parody account of George R. R. Martin that tweeted like in January of this year, I wrote 2016. And then like 2 days ago, he quoted the tweet and he's like, I'm sorry.
It's easy to spoof that though. There's all kinds of ways you can sort of get around messing with the meta tags with tweets and stuff like that. So
you can't edit tweets though.
If it's a picture,
it's not a picture. No. It's an actual tweet.
All right. Well,
like you go back and you can find the tweet. So just saying. All right, Gavin, you got any news story?
Witchcraft.
Oh boy.
Banned from football games in Africa after bizarre coincidence freaks out players and referees. All right, so I got this. The African football chiefs have been forced to outlaw witchcraft over fears that players are using it to gain an unfair advantage in their matches.
What?
in a recent Rwandan Premier League game. A player apparently performed a ritual mid-game and then scored within seconds.
How do you perform a ritual? Do you just, like, lay down on the ground and, like, pray and then get up and, like, kick something and then magically flies?
Was that, like, actually AFCON during that? Or is that, like, just something?
I mean, what team is it? Like, is it a
CAF do that, or?
He, apparently in this video, the guy, he misses a goal. He hit the crossbar. Then he runs over to the goal, seems to lean a small object against the post. He's then chased away by the goalkeeper, and then after the game restarts, he scores.
Did they ever find out what that little object was?
Magnet.
maybe the ball had like a magnet inside of it.
Any incident in which you were decided to have been taking part in witchcraft will give you a 100,000 Rwandan francs fine, which is equivalent to about £99.
Oh, so that's actually kind of like serious.
Yeah.
Interesting. Witchcraft. Didn't know you could get suspended for that.
If a club has been involved, they will lose 3 points and face a 2.9 million Rwandan francs fine, which is about £2,890.
That is just witchcraft. Sure. All right.
I mean, you know.
So this just happened just like a few hours ago. Ronda Rousey is making her fight return to UFC 207.
Right.
That's happening actually tomorrow. Of course, they do like weigh-ins and they have like press conferences and everything, which is usually sort of a hyped up thing. Rousey literally just walked up to the right to the scale, makes weight, and then just walks off the stage.
That sounds about right.
Instead of, you know, because you know how like most fighters are, where they have like a big sort of like what to do about like being up on stage, or, you know, they make this sort of, you know, stare down with one another photo.
They hype it. They hype the fight.
They try to hype the fight up. Rousey just got up there, made her weight, walked off.
That's what I would do.
She's had like a media blackout like the entire thing leading up to the fight. Hasn't said much about anything going into it. It's all very sort of like, what's going on?
I think if I was ever in a fight, I'd walk out just like eating a cheeseburger or something. Just like get on the scale and just walk off.
Then just
throw the cheeseburger.
Professional fighter Gavin Eubank.
Yeah. It would just be something. It would be weird news, essentially. It'd be like, dude, did you see this fighter came out eating a cheeseburger in his weigh-in?
Isn't that unbelievable?
He actually gained a weight class.
Yeah, you know, if you don't make weight
on the scale, it was crazy.
You know, if you don't make weight for a fight, you don't get the purse, right? Like, you don't get any of the winnings.
I got the cheeseburger. That's
so
all that matters.
So you don't get paid.
Indeed, it is what it is.
Sure. All right,
do you think I can give myself a technical knockout? Like, if I had like a big prize fight and I just got in the fight and as soon as the bell rang, I just collapsed. Like, I would still get the perks for that, right? So I still technically
fought. Just like had a heart attack from all the cheeseburgers?
Like, I just faint.
I don't know like what the minimum requirement for a fight is. I mean, like a lot of like Ronda Rousey's
her fights last what? Like 10
like,
seconds?
There's like a gif of like an entire fight. So
ring bell. One punch.
I mean,
ring bell.
It's not unheard of.
No.
So
I mean, all I'm saying is that I would
but
probably
if no one
last
touches
like 10
you,
seconds with her.
If no one touches you, then it's like, yeah, you're kind of suspicious. It's just like, oh, yeah, done, sorry.
You have a heart attack and then...
If I'm fighting Ronda Rousey, yeah, she wouldn't have to touch me. I'd be done in like 10 seconds.
Yeah, I'd punch myself and then...
And then I'd get in the ring and have to try to fight her. Nobody caught that. That's a shame.
You would punch yourself, then get in the ring?
There's a listener that's going to play back this conversation.
Nope, they got it.
They got it, yeah. And they're really like, wait a second, what is that?
Cool. All right, so the former head of the Helsinki drug police.
Sometime I want to get my hands on the snake man.
The former head of the Helsinki drug police has been sentenced to 10 years in jail for running a drug ring.
A drug
ring. Yeah, so
unbelievable?
The guy who was supposed to stop all the drug rings was himself running a drug ring.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like Walter White helping the DEA try to take down
The perfect crime.
Yeah, imagine if Walter White was like the head of narcotics.
So it would be like so Hank, if Walter, trying, yeah, if Hank was involved.
If Hank was running Walter's drug ring.
Yeah.
That'd be something.
He's apparently nicknamed the Pacilla Man. Don't know what
AMC
that means.
He's been running a Breaking Bad marathon these past couple days, and I didn't know about it until last night. I was pretty upset about that. Came in the middle of like season 4.
I can't watch Breaking Bad because it's too like soul crushing now. So
why? Because you know what happens.
I watched it as it aired, and now I'm like, people are like, oh, go back and watch it. It's so good. I'm like, you do know like the taxing that takes on the human soul to watch that show, right?
I missed all of season 2 of Better Call Saul, but I definitely am looking forward to it.
Yeah,
that show is pretty good.
Yep.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about before we get into predictions?
I think they should do another spinoff that just follows Gustavo. That guy's an interesting man. I feel like I definitely want to learn what he's about.
Sure. Okay. So let's go through predictions here since it is the end of the year.
Who won 2016, Austin?
China.
Damn it. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Damn it. Okay, so... first let's quickly talk about like just in general out of every show we've ever done. Currently I am 131 and 135 in predictions. Kyle's 85 and 102. Gavin, you are 97 and 114.
Damn.
And Brad is 87 and 90.
So we all went under 500 this year?
Yep. All under 500.
Both got relegated.
Myself and Brad are 49.2%.
Brent got relegated, didn't he?
You are 46%.
Where were you guys, 42?
We're 49%.
Damn.
Kyle was 45.5%, and Brent's poor still guy. Sitting at 46.2%. So he's higher than Kyle.
Present.
So it was a rough year for all of us. All we could do Arsenal's is all I could Arsenal. Do is try to come back better next year.
Arsenal is going to Arsenal. Speaking of, you're wearing an Ozil shirt, Brad.
Yep.
How do you feel about Arsenal? Since we'll probably be picking them in a second.
Last couple. I mean, aside from they've had some problems finishing. I think.
That's what she said.
Is it? That Ooh. Seems to be the opposite. Of
She
the
was
problem.
Just generalizing. They is like everybody.
Yep. Everybody.
You know. They've for a team that everyone sort of like wrote off at the beginning of the year because they're like, oh, they didn't make a big signing, or you know, Manchester United swooped in and grabbed everyone, they won the offseason. Like, yeah, but look at what Manchester United's doing right now.
Speaking of Manchester United, is it kind of insane that we've made it through almost an entire episode without once mentioning Samir Nasser? And his Twitter.
Oh my God!
His Twitter
How
freak
did
out.
We forget that?
We just went through weird news and didn't even mention that.
But here's the thing: why would we be mentioning Manchester United and Sammy Nasri?
Because he used to play for Manchester. So.
No,
that was the tie-in.
He played for City.
He played for City.
Isn't that what you said?
No. He said United.
I said United.
I thought he said City.
So let's go back.
But
to that
anyway,
for a
yes.
Second. Who wants to talk about it? Go, somebody.
What a day. Where do we even begin with that one? So I guess his Twitter got hacked.
So you know the whole backstory behind that. Apparently, it was his like girlfriend.
That's what they're saying, is that it was his girlfriend was doing that, and then they kept fighting for control of the account, and both were just tweeting.
Yeah, basically.
No.
She made a comment on the Instagram post. So okay, let's backstory here. Samir Nasri got an IV drip out in LA, and like they tweeted out, so like, hey, thanks to Samir Nasri, he came out and you know, got this you know, IV drip or whatever, and you know, they said thanks for, you know, coming out and supporting us or whatever, and then he quote tweeted the tweet, or someone using his account quote tweeted the tweet and said like, hey, hold on, I'm trying to find the tweet here. What exactly did he say?
Said you guys also provided me with a full sex service right at 2. So guys, make sure you get this service. They come and fuck in the same night.
Oh my God.
That's basically what he said.
Yeah.
That is just Wow.
And then he quoted it again and said, please tell the world as well of the other concierge treatment your girl gave straight after the IV drip, which I believe might have been the girlfriend tweeting that again.
Yeah. So then,
sorry guys, I just had to let the world know that my girlfriend Inara, who was with me at the time, had booked this girl to give me an IV drip. On arrival, Inara had left the room and this girl had asked for my number and to go out with me that night. She then continued to give me ...
a full service in my hotel room, so doubling up on her services. Just giving you boys a heads up on this service from @DripDoctors. Everything I said was 100% facts. The girl in the picture, Jamila, came to my hotel room at 3 a.m. and continued other services. That don't come on their menu. So then the Drip Doctors people tweeted, his account's been hacked and the recent tweets about Drip Doctors are all false. This will be confirmed shortly. Thanks. Then he the account quote tweeted again and said, Jamila did not come to the club and then my hotel room at 3 a.m. And then he tweeted, unfortunately, my Twitter keeps deleting tweets, but just letting you boys know if you are in the L.A. area and feeling lowly, message Drip Doctors.
I mean, dude, 2016 is such an amazing time. Like, Samir Nasri has not been relevant for at least 5 years. Yeah. And in a span of 15 minutes, he became a trending worldwide topic.
The irony of all that is, now he's under anti-doping investigation.
Yes. Because of that. He's under a lot of investigations now after that.
So, let that be a lesson to you. Maybe don't call Drip Doctors, because now all of a sudden...
Or maybe do if you're lonely. I don't know. Whatever kind of person you are.
You know.
If you're in the LA area. Austin, you'll be in the LA area next year.
Austin, are you going to get Drip Doctors come out? Nope. An IV?
No.
I heard they come
Austin is winking. ladies and gentlemen in our audience, Austin That's... David just looked at me, winked, and said...
So, okay, going back to this whole thing... So the reason that people think that it was the girlfriend that hacked the account, she posted on the Instagram of the Drip Doctors using her own account saying, you also provide a full sexual service with it too.
Yes.
And so there's like a, you know, and then she posted a picture on her Instagram saying, be with someone who does these things and then respects and all girls deserve their loyalty and respect. This is my wish for every respectful and decent girl in 2017. So,
who was that? The girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, the irony is on the Drip Doctors Twitter page, they still have like, hey, drip like Sammy Nasri. And, like, all the ones of them just kind of like hanging out. Like, it's still, and they even had to like clarify, like, his account's been hacked, and these recent tweets about Drip Doctors are all false. This will be confirmed shortly. Thanks. Smiley face emoji. Like, no. We're totally not doing this. Don't ask us for our business licenses or anything. Don't look into us at all. Please, nope. Don't.
Yeah, I mean, the pictures of these women—they all just look like normal doctors. I wouldn't suspect anything different. I'm sure they all have well hard-earned doctorate degrees.
You know what's really crazy? Like, after this whole thing happened, they tweeted that whole drip like Samir Nasri thing. So they're like kind of using the publicity. It's negative publicity, but if you go by the Donald Trump school of publicity, all publicity, bad or good, is still good publicity.
I will say I do kind of feel bad for the woman in this original photo that was just branded a whore on, you know, maybe incorrectly throughout the entire world. And then now have to be going around with that tag to her.
Yeah.
There is a, what's the word? That's a serious side to what happened there. I mean, who knows what the true story is, but it's entertainment in 2016 at its finest, so you can't be upset about that.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
So, way to get Seville back in relevancy.
Yeah, where are they in
not in the top?
I'm pretty sure they're close to the bottom, aren't they?
I feel like they would be a top five club, top seven club.
Yeah, I swear they were like not good this year.
Maybe not.
Oh no, they are. They're third. Never mind.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say they're always relevant.
I know. I was thinking of like some team that used to be relevant and then all of a sudden like dropped.
Atletico?
No.
Real, like sixth.
Who?
Valencia?
Yeah. Valencia. That's who it was. They're 17th out of 20.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's just weird because in Spain you've got like those six clubs that are only relevant.
Right, and so it's usually
not,
Valencia.
So when you're not one of those teams, it's just like, who are you?
Yeah. Cool. All right. Let's wrap up 2016 with some predictions.
I am looking at that girl from Drip Doctor's Instagram page right now. She is pretty cute.
All right. There's not many games to
Brad
pick from this week.
I just bought a ticket to LA with Austin.
He did live out there years ago, didn't you?
Yeah. So. They're all fronts.
Okay. So here's some games. Let's see. We've got 5 games or so.
Yeah, Austin just pulled up their booking page.
You guys can't see him, but he's now nodding as he denies it.
You guys are just the worst. All right, Hull versus Everton. Here are the games. We're going to go back to them in a second.
I can see the reflection in the...
Hull versus Everton, Chelsea versus Stoke, Liverpool Man City, Watford Tottenham, and Arsenal Crystal Palace. Those are the games we're going to be picking from. Okay. So, first, Hull Everton.
I'm going to go Everton.
You would.
So this counts for 2017 now. Well, we won't know these results for like a month.
I'll post them on the page. You guys will know them. It's just our listeners won't.
Yeah. Follow our page in a couple of months.
Yeah. Hey, oh, Facebook page coming 2017.
Yeah, we got a lot of things coming in 2017.
Yeah, we did.
Stuff that probably should have been around 2015.
Yeah, man.
I mean,
we're just now hitting stride. You know, what is this, 44 episodes?
Yeah.
Our 44th episode. We haven't finally getting up and running.
Haven't even been around a year yet, guys.
Hashtag content, man.
Wait.
We have been around a year.
We've been around at least a year and a half.
Episode
now.
42.
You haven't been around for a year.
No.
You joined.
Austin, David, and myself have been here since last August.
So why do we only have 42 episodes?
You joined in episode 13.
I mean, you should be well versed on why we only have 42 episodes by now.
Yeah, I am. I'm saying Everton because Hull City is currently in dead last.
Yeah, they are. So I'll go Everton as well. Chelsea Stoke.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Chelsea.
Are they going for 13 wins in a row now?
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah, they are.
Still on top of the table, though.
Liverpool Man City.
Mm.
Collection of two.
Now Liverpool just won last week 4-1. That was against Stoke.
I'm going to go Liverpool in this one.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to say Liverpool as well. Liverpool are 3-1-1 in their last 5. Meanwhile, Man City is probably something similar, but not quite. 3-0-2. So,
okay. We'll say this. In 2017, should we change the result system to exclude draws? Because I feel like that's kind of cheap. If you pick a team and then it draws, you can't really predict that.
You get a 1-3 chance.
We should do it like a point system in 2017.
Oh, God, that sounds complicated.
It sounds fun.
So
it sounds more even.
No, but I get what you're saying there, because you do it the same way you would a table. You get 1 point if it's a draw. You get all 3.
I mean, we are a soccer podcast. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you got to either pick a team. You got to pick 1 or 2 teams, but if it's a draw, you at least get a point for trying.
Yeah.
You can't predict a draw happening.
Yeah. Unless you're
in Orlando. Unless
you, yeah. And then you could just say draw and you'll be right every time.
Well, Adrian Heaston's the coach. You can pick it from Minnesota.
How about if you do pick a draw and a draw happens, you still get 3 points, but otherwise you would just get 1.
Or I come over there and I punch you.
Man, whatever you got to do, man, to make this a fair point system.
The thing is, like, if you go for the point system, like, you always just pick one or the other.
Yeah.
Because picking a draw, like, it gets you a point, but it's not worth it in the long run. Because if you get the win right, then you get 2 more points.
Pick one or the other. We don't pick draws.
What happens when a draw comes on? We still lose?
You get 1 point.
You lose?
No, you get 1 point if it's a draw.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a point?
Yeah.
So then we're going 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw.
Okay.
And 0 for a loss, which you would do in soccer anyways.
Okay. So this is our new system.
I can get on board with that.
All right, it's all about the transparency for the readers. They got to know how we're winning.
The readers?
listener. To the listeners. We should have a contest in 2017. There's got to be a prize.
We got to have a visual podcast for our deaf listeners.
Facebook Live. We'll be doing that.
So like a video.
Also, hey.
We'll transcribe all of our
One thing that's happening in January, the Florida Cup, FC Challenge and FC Playoff. Those are going on. May have a discount code for tickets coming up, so stay tuned to our Twitter.
You better share some of that promo money with us.
Yeah, I'm not getting any.
Ooh.
All right.
RIP Brent.
It's all going to Brent.
RIP.
Cancer is very serious.
RIP Brent.
I'm gonna go Man City for that Liverpool Man City game. Watford Tottenham.
I like Tottenham.
I'm actually going to say Watford.
Does it have something to do with them? You picking them to finish first?
No, the fact that they're actually like kind of good.
Yeah.
And Tottenham are, well, Tottenham.
I'll go Watford. And then Arsenal Crystal Palace. That's kind of, I mean, they just.
Arsenal. Yeah, Arsenal.
Yeah, but Arsenal. Crystal Palace, 2 points above relegation.
Yeah, and they just fired Alan Pardew.
Yeah, Big Sam's in charge, man, though. Anything can happen.
Dear God. How did that happen?
He was trying to gamble under the table, doing some illegal things.
Arsenal have Mustafi and Welbeck coming back. It should be a little bit better.
Yep. Okay. That's it, guys. 2016 in the books.
Thank you so much for Brent's mom for listening this year. Without your support, we couldn't have done it. Now, if you could just unkill your son, that'd be great.
I think she listens.
Sometimes, still.
I didn't feel it.
So, we'll be taking a short break for at least a few weeks.
Yeah.
Preseason starts the 22nd in MLS. We can probably come back around then, late October or late January.
Yeah.
Regroup. We got a Facebook page coming.
Sure.
We're going to maybe start up a website to keep track of all of our predictions and shows, blah, blah, blah.
We can't do anything right. Our military has to be strengthened. Our vets have to be taken care of.
Take care of Brad Pincus.
I guess that's pretty much the only one on the show, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, Kyle's a veteran of the show.
I'm going to tell you a couple of stories.
I'm going to tell you a lot of stories next year.
Yeah. Hey, we'll be back with some good content. And again, Twitter page is going to, you know, obviously have our you know, flying out opinions and everything.
Follow the Fourth Official on Twitter. Just search for us.
Yeah.
You follow me on Twitter at Gavin Newman. You can follow Brad on Twitter at whatever Brad's name is. Brad with a B.
Or my work account at Mainland Michael.
You follow Austin David on Twitter.
Austin David 22.
I would not recommend you follow Kyle fully on
Twitter. No, do not do that.
Definitely do not do that unless you plan on muting him immediately.
He does tweet a lot. I think it's like 200 tweets a day or something.
Something like that. It's insane.
$1.3
trillion.
That's actually a real number. We fact check that.
So mention here, Kyle has tweeted 38,300 times.
I don't believe that. I believe it's much more than that.
Don't believe the 5.6.
I'm actually at 5.1.
I'm like not 50, even.
I'm at 51.6.
And Jesus. Now they're beating us economically. They are not our friend. Believe me.
Who? Who?
China.
I'm at 28.65. China. Brad, you're at 20,800. Oh, I haven't even hit 5,000 yet. I'm like the laziest.
Well, I tweet once a week, maybe.
Yeah, I'm bad at social media.
Well, also, I tweet. I don't have like a job where I have to tweet. I just kind of like come up with shit and I throw it at a wall. So
see if it sticks.
Yeah,
I mean it's there. Is what it is.
My last tweet, I tweeted at the Russell Athletic Bowl. I said, "Figures, Keynes have always been big Ewoks caravan of courage stands." So try to decipher that one free of context.
One of my favorite Twitter accounts is the New York Times minus context. Have you ever seen that one? What? Have you ever seen that account?
No.
It's just every time the New York Times posts a story, it just Like, the account just posts whatever the story was about, but absolutely no context of the
situation.
Oh,
we're just going to go through, like,
so it'll be like
Twitter
baby
accounts to, like, follow from this year?
I guess so.
I'm going to say at Drill, at Trill Ballins, at Celebrity Hot Tub. My three Twitter accounts to go follow right now.
Yeah, I have none because I'm bad at social media.
And I guess at the Fourth Official, but you're probably already following us if you listen to the show.
So. Yeah. And if you're not, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher Radio. This is just literally going on and on. We're like an hour and 20 minutes in. Can we just end this already?
I mean, dude, we just got to do whatever we can to survive this year.
Yeah. This basically is just proof of life at this point.
Yeah. Hey, Brent, if you're listening, send us proof of life.
Sure am.
Alrighty.
Well, that's it for 2016, folks. Hopefully we'll see you in 2017, unless the hurricane kills us. Till then, this has been the Fourth Official. See you next year.